B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 12:57. Back live, cause ready with the Tunis. Looking ahead to the start, the restart of the NBA. Tyrone and I were just getting giddy, talking about all the games that we'll have throughout the course of the day.
I love that we can like start thinking about strategies. We talked about it earlier today, right? We were like, oh, pick and rolls with Ben Simmons or get to the foul line. Ben's got to be aggressive. I love that we could talk about that again. How much did you miss that?
Oh, my God. Yeah, man.
Right?
Listen, that's the lifeblood of our hobbies. Like, that's what it's about, right? I mean, we love talking about the game and the possibility and all that stuff. You know, that's a big part of what we do.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be so nice to have sports back in any way that we can watch it, any way that we can talk about it. I love the beach idea, right? But, I can't wait.
Dude, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And guess what? We can have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and look, we can social distance. You're outside. You're on the beach. It's, you know, it's something different. We're going to have to do some different things just to brighten our spirits.
Yeah, of course, because, I mean, sports is about gathering.
Yep.
Right? Like, I'm a guy that kind of likes to watch some games by myself. But if I could find a way to get together with people, to go to a bar, to celebrate with
fellow fans. Going on the pandemic, and we do it responsibly.
Yeah,
it's not going to get a ton of people. It's just going to be outside and... You know, you got to do it the right way. But just to have sports back, it brings you together. It's 1 o'clock and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We are a Beasley Media Group station. All right, Tunis, you got a little something new for me?
Yes, I do. But I need about 20 more seconds, so I will let you know that the playback that we just did was brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer in your area today. But yeah, I want to try something new with you today.
All right.
You ready?
Well, yeah. Well, you want to explain to the audience what it is?
Oh, well, it's just going to be like a little headline segment. And we're going to call it the two-minute drill. And okay. We're basically going to discuss these headlines, two minutes or less. We got a friend of ours down the hall, helped us out with the open a little bit. It's a nice quick open, some music. You ready?
All right, let's go.
It's time now for the 2-Minute Drill with Anthony Gargano.
2 minutes.
Here are today's headlines discussed in 2 minutes or less.
2 minutes.
What about Matty Cord?
I like it.
I love the Matt Cord.
Yes.
That's part of the intro. All right, headline number one, Anthony. Sixers schedule, obviously big topic of discussion today with other big games. To highlight, though, right? Because we were actually kind of bummed out that the Sixers schedule is kind of... Eh.
But I'm not bummed out at all. You were. I'm not.
I wish that they were playing the Lakers or something, but obviously
they
had to base it off of the remaining games. So I want to highlight some other big games. How about the first night, July 30th, 9 o'clock at night, you have Lakers-Clippers.
Yeah, that's
How about
great.
That with a
that's
bang?
That's fantastic.
You start off Lakers-Clippers from
Zion's
the very beginning.
Zion's the first one.
Yes, it's Pelicans-Jazz, the first game, which, okay, yeah, you get Zion, but Lakers-Clippers at 9 o'clock start, yeah, I love that. Celtics-Bucks the next night, July 31st. That's 6:30, followed by Rockets-Mavericks at 9 o'clock. How about that for a doubleheader?
That's outrageous.
Right? You go Celtics-Bucks into Rockets-Mavericks. And it's perfect. The 9:30 into 9 o'clock.
Yeah, that's great.
6:30 to 9 o'clock.
I've been on those two. Yep. That's great. Two great games.
August 2nd, Bucks-Rockets, 8:30. That's going to be a good one. But this is the best one, I think. Thursday,
I root against the Rockets.
I know. So you'll be rooting for the Bucks. And, the Bucks are going to get the one seed.
Yeah.
We know that's not changing. Thursday, August 6th, Clippers-Mavericks, 6:30. And then Lakers-Rockets, 9 o'clock. Both ABC games, too.
Are they real?
I love the ABC game.
Yeah,
we got to see
too.
If the Sixers have any ABCers or ESPNers.
I thought they had a couple. They had an NBA TV.
I love the national broadcast. I love our guys, Mark and Ala. I love, Tom McGinnis on the radio.
So they got a TNT game against the Magic. and an NBA TV game against Portland, and an ESPN game against Toronto.
All right, like that 3 out of 8, that's not bad.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
And maybe 4, depending on the Rockets game.
All right, moving on. Cam Newton, of course, we talked about it earlier. Not sure if he's even going to start, because we don't know if Belichick loves the Stidham guy or not. But the big question going around the football topics today, who makes it further this season? Is it Cam Newton and the Patriots, or is it Tom Brady and the Buccaneers?
I go, wow.
It's interesting.
See, Tampa's in a tougher division.
Yes.
They're the better team, certainly the better offense.
By far.
But they're in a tougher division.
And Tampa's defense is okay, but I'll take Belichick and the Patriots' defense.
Without a doubt. You also got New Orleans, Atlanta, Carolina. I mean, I know Carolina, I think Carolina would be good just because Matt knows how to coach. So, but I think Tampa's got the better offense. I'll still go Patriots.
You'll still go Patriots?
Yeah.
And we find out, Stidham or Newton, I guess week one?
I guess I go... What's the wins? You go win total?
Yeah. How many wins?
I mean, I don't. Did you see either team win 10?
I mean, I wouldn't.
I got to look at the Tampa schedule. I could see them winning.
I could see both teams winning 10. I can't put it past Belichick.
Yeah.
Right? This is the year where you go, all right, they're going to go under 500, and they'll still find a way.
That's a great Axel debate.
Yeah. All right. Number 3, Chase Daniel is currently trending on Twitter. And you're probably wondering, like, why is Chase Daniel? People are realizing that he's going to make more money this season than Jameis Winston and Cam Newton combined. Chase Daniel is on the beginning of a 3-year, $13 million deal with the Lions. And in his 11 seasons, he's made over $34 million. Is he the biggest thief in sports history, period?
Yeah, because he's not even... Well, there's NBA guys that thieve. Like, there's a lot of Mozgov was a max contract guy. There's some thieves in baseball, too. You know. But as far as NFL thieves, he's the top NFL thief.
Hey, remember Doug brought him in?
Yeah.
Paid him a lot of money, too.
Dude, I never understand it. He's small. I don't get the Chase Daniel love. I really don't.
That's the thing. You want maybe a big backup quarterback, but you're going to go Chase Daniel, who actually ended up playing better than Trubisky last year.
Yeah,
he tells me about Mitch.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
All right, last one. I checked out Netflix. July 20th, The Last Dance will be available. The Michael Jordan docuseries. It was great, right? Is this something you'd rewatch?
Maybe, but not now. I mean, I'd rewatch it down the line.
I don't know if I would.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I don't know if I'm... Like, am I jonesing to? I don't rewatch a lot of documentaries. They're not one that you rewatch. Like, I rewatch movies, but not documentaries.
I wonder, do you think the viewership will end up being higher on the Sundays of ESPN or, I don't know, the first couple weeks that it's on Netflix?
Well, it's easier if you're Netflix because it's not appointment television.
Right. But more people went to ESPN.
I don't know. I mean, but the fact that it's on demand, I think it helps out a lot.
Okay. That's what I got for you today.
All right. I like it. By the way, Netflix, speaking of Netflix, they're producing a 6-part series with Colin Kaepernick. So he gets a Netflix series, Kaepernick does.
How about that?
Colin in Black and White, and we'll explore the quarterback's high school years and insights that led to his activism. That's going to be on Netflix. The NHL, they said that they're back on track for phase 2. Because there were some issues about that.
Yeah, there were teams that Tampa Bay Lightning was a team that had to shut things down because of players testing positive.
Right, and they're back. Now, phase 3 is expected to start on July the 10th.
It's not too far away.
Yeah. And they're talking about, again, the hub cities. They're down to 5 potential hub cities.
Aren't you concerned that they haven't figured that out yet? I know they're down to.
So Vancouver withdrew from being a hub. You hear the hubs. You ready? Las Vegas, Toronto, Edmonton, Los Angeles, and Chicago. Despite the climbing COVID-19 positive testing numbers in Nevada, there continues to be heavy speculation that Las Vegas will be one of the hubs. And as far as the other choice, Toronto. A lot of teams want Toronto. So it looks like Las Vegas and Toronto could be the hubs, but Vegas is soaring now in coronavirus numbers.
Well, and the Toronto thing's difficult because of Canadian government. I mean, there's still thoughts about the Blue Jays and whether or not they can play in Toronto or whether or not they're playing in Florida.
Yeah.
How can you have a hub city?
Well, I mean, the only way you have the hub city is if you work it out.
Right.
So their belief is that they'll work out a deal.
Okay. And that means Toronto doesn't play there.
And hockey is still their sport, so.
Right. I read Bob Nightingale put out a story last week of the schedule makers in Major League Baseball, and they're going to go as if Toronto's playing in Toronto. And if they shift to Florida, it's like, all right, well, now you're just traveling to Florida instead. Because I guess in terms of distance, the teams that they're going to face, that's it doesn't matter if they're in Toronto or Florida.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, you're facing the AL East,
right?
So you got, you know, listen, Toronto's an easy flight from Boston, New York. I mean, it's less than 2 hours. It's like an hour and change.
Right.
From New York, an hour and a half to go to Toronto. And then, or you're going to go, it's going to be in Florida. You got Tampa in Florida. And you have the Marlins. You have us. You have Atlanta down there.
It would honestly just be easier if they did Florida.
Well, it kind of doesn't really matter. It's kind of the same, though. When you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I just wonder. I mean,
the northern teams, Philly, New York, both New York teams, Boston, you know, Washington, and it's equidistant, Washington and Baltimore. A little closer to Florida, yeah. But, you know, not that much. So I don't think it really matters that much.
Good luck, schedule makers. I feel bad. You got a tough job right now.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do the 60 game. That's a tough thing, I guess. There's talk about Yankees, Nationals to start the season.
Yeah, I saw something like that. I'm sure they're going to find a way to make the Yankees the first team. But there's a couple different reports out there. But, I mean, we'll see. I mean, what they have to do in that same story was if you're, you know, the Phillies and you travel to Florida to face the Marlins, you're then going to play the Rays because you're already down there. Like, that's how they're going to make it work. So if you're playing the Yankees in New York, you'll then play the Mets in New York before coming back home or traveling somewhere else.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's the smart way to do it because, boom, you just got six games out of the way. But, I mean, these guys, their jobs right now are, they're making their paycheck right now.
I know. Let's go to Robert, kick it back on the phones in California. Robert, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What up, cuz? How you doing?
What's happening, Rob?
I'm just sitting here at the hospital parking lot listening to you guys. About to have my firstborn, so you guys are keeping my anxiety down.
Oh, congratulations, Robert. That's fantastic. Do we know what you're having?
Yeah, we're having a boy. Going to have a new little Sixer fan.
Oh, I love it. I love it. A little boy. You have his name?
Yeah, Royce. Royce Atticus.
Royce Atticus. Oh, that's a great name. Congratulations, my brother. Congratulations.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask you something about the Sixers. I'm so excited about them coming back. The only thing I'm worried about, though, is how they don't play good when they are not at home. I'm wondering how this is going to be on a neutral site with no fans. I don't know what Sixer team's going to show up.
You know, it's interesting. I got to believe that not having any negative, like the other aspect of just foreign buildings is the travel aspect. Well, here, they're going to be in one area, right? So you're going to be focused in on is basketball. So I'm hoping that helps because it seemed like they play focused at home. And I think being in this bubble, they'll have no choice but to be focused on basketball.
It just seems like when they were not at home and they didn't have the crowd behind them, that they just got distracted all the time. And I don't know if it was being on the road with the other crowd, but I don't know. When they weren't at home with this last season, until it got stopped, when they were on the road, I had no confidence in that team.
Yeah, no, and you're right. And that's why I point to the focus being, if you're in the bubble, you're better off because you're going to have focus in the bubble, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think you're almost forced to have that focus.
All I can say is let's go. I can't wait.
I love it, man. And you'll have that little baby boy. Yeah, that'll be fantastic. Royce Atticus keeping you company during the games.
Yeah, I can't wait. New Sixer.
There you go, brother. Congratulations. God bless you and the family. See you, buddy. How about that?
Royce Atticus.
Strong name, is it not?
Atticus Finch.
That's it. By the way, did you see the first time the NBA lines have been posted?
No. What do we got? Is this not for a game, but for the championship?
Not for the game. This is on ESPN, courtesy of Caesars.
Okay.
Clippers are -1 against the Lakers. And the Jazz are a pick against the Pelicans. Jazz, no Bogdanovich. They still gonna be better. That's a pick.
I mean, they love Zion. The world loves Zion.
Don't they overlove? Isn't that an overloved
pick? Yes, Zion gets overloved. He really does.
He's a good young player, but he gets overloved. The
ESPN can't wait for him to take a leap forward in his career, and then LeBron retires, and it's going to be Zion ESPN.
I got news for you. You better be careful. Not to say that he's going to be Harold Miner, but there was a guy that they dubbed Baby Jordan.
That's right.
Who was going to be the savior of the NBA. And he turned out to be Harold Miner. Orlando -1 against Brooklyn. Portland and the Grizzlies a pick. Suns -3 over the Wizards.
See, when you
you're already excited.
When you give me what was it? Orlando and who?
Orlando and Brooklyn.
That's got to be the noon tip off, right?
Yeah,
because that's
July 31st.
That's an ad piece right there.
Right, it is an ad piece. That's July 31st. Suns -3. Wizards. Kings -2.5. Spurs. Rockets -1, Dallas.
Wow.
And here you go. You ready? Celtics, Bucks. Take a guess.
Celtics, Bucks. No home court, so they're going to make it closer. I'll go Bucks -3.5.
Bucks -5.
Wow. In Milwaukee, that's a Bucks -9.5 piece, but home court, Bucks -5.
You're coming off of a layoff.
Right. So you don't know.
I have no idea.
These lines are going to be thin to start. A lot of them will be.
Well, because you have no idea who's who, who's what. Now, did you see, and I'm curious, when you look at how it's kind of configured, did you see the favorites? Did you see this? For the title in the Eastern Conference?
I haven't seen it, but I'm going to guess. Well, you said Lakers. They're number one, right?
They were the favorite.
I'm going to guess it's Lakers, Bucks, 1-2. It would have to be.
All right, hold on. I'm going to give you all of them. All right, you ready? Here you go. Lakers 9-4.
Okay.
Bucks 3-1.
All right, then it would be Clippers.
Clippers 7-2.
Now the question is, do they go with another West Conference team before they go to the East?
Yes.
Is it Denver?
No.
Is it Utah?
No.
Oh, it's not Houston, is it?
Rockets.
Come on.
10-1.
Come on. They're not going to win. Layoff, no layoff.
10-1, the Rockets. Who's next?
Is it Toronto?
Incorrect.
Is it still in the East or is it still in the West?
East.
Not Boston.
Boston. God. 15-1.
Who's making these lines? Can I bet against them?
15-1 Celtics. The next two teams are tied at 22-1.
One's got to be the Nuggets.
Two Eastern Conference teams.
I want to say Sixers. But,
yes, Sixers and Raptors.
And Raptors. Okay, both, so the Sixers have better odds than Miami and Indiana.
Yes, both Sixers and Raptors, 22-1. Denver, 30-1. Dallas, Miami, Utah, 40-1.
Okay, that's fair.
Dallas 40, Utah 40-1.
Well, the Utah thing's the Rudy Gobert, Mitchell. Porzingis was hurt when the world shut down, right?
Right.
And Luka was banged up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Dallas.
They're not going to win.
Jimmy 40-1.
They're going to be fun to watch. I'm really excited to watch Luka Doncic again.
Yeah, I am too. How about this? How about Indiana is 100-1. Now that they can win it, but to make the East, they're 40-1 to get out of the East.
Just to get to the finals?
Yeah, 40-1.
There's no shot.
There's no shot why?
That they make it out of the East.
You don't think so?
I like Indiana. I just think there's no shot.
40-1?
Because, all right. Who wins a series, Indiana or Miami? If that's the 4-5 like
Indiana
it is right now.
Indiana can win that series.
They could. Do they then beat the Bucks?
I don't know. Maybe the Bucks are messed up.
Maybe. I don't know. Can't see them beating the Bucks.
The Sixers are a big price. 9-1 to get to the finals.
Really?
Yes.
Just to get to the finals.
That's actually worth it.
Yes.
9-1? Throw $100, you get $900.
Well, if they follow the Salchunas plan, where they move up and they beat either the Heat or the Pacers in round one, beat the Bucks in round two, have an easy Eastern Conference Finals against the Celtics, yeah, it's perfect.
Oh, I got. Oh, by the way, I do have the Sixers Pacers line up here too. You want to take a guess at that?
I think the world is going to quickly fall in love with the Sixers. So the Sixers will be the favorite, in my opinion.
Correct.
The Sixers are a slim favorite, however.
Well, depends on what you define as slim.
3.5.
4.5.
Okay.
Sixers, a 4.5 choice against Indiana.
So is Vegas telling you, based off that line, that A, it's revenge factor, right? Because the Sixers they're losing in that season series. But is Vegas telling you that the Sixers want to move up in the standings?
Yes.
Because right now they're sixth, and they can move up to 5 or 4.
But none of it really matters.
Like, unless you really have a matchup preference. Yeah, that's the only thing that matters.
You don't have home court, so it doesn't really matter. All right, we do have open lines. If you want to join the program, take the 5. One of the questions of the 5, besides the sledgehammer and the toe to someone in the pandemic, which is always fun, one of the things I want to get more out of you guys is there something that you're willing to put to rest that has irked you? Is there anything sports-wise that has irked you so much? I'm putting to rest the Jalen Hurts pick. Chula's putting to rest his Brett Brown hate, which you do have. What are you doing? I don't want any of it. Any negativity. It's Cuz Radio with Chula. It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. Cuz Radio with the Tunis. 610-632-0975, your phone number to hang. 610-632-0975. We had our weekend five, which was some fun. In case you missed it earlier, it's our best and worst of the weekend. I'll give you my worst.
Come on, man. You didn't enjoy it?
Little Lance, a lovable soul who fall in love with nature.
Yes.
And it's a wonderful thing. My heart does my heart well. So having moved and he's got room and love and outside and it's great. You know, I'm not that keen on it, but he is and that's all that matters. So when the daddy helped me plant a garden and I don't really know what I'm doing. All I know is I dug a hole. I dug many a hole.
You didn't have the garden, your concrete front yard, South Philly.
I dug a hole.
First hole I dug.
It was funny. It was fun. And then it was a lot of, well, it was fun. That would constitute the best and the worst at the same time. Quest number two is the Sixers prediction. How are we doing a poll, Andrew?
So the poll on at 975 middays. When you hear, quote, the Sixers can get to the NBA Finals, your reaction is still in the lead at 39.6% of the vote. I hesitate, but possible. All right, so that's the lead. The people are still like, okay, yeah, sure. At 30.5% of the vote, it's the eye roll. 15.2%, yes, built for 16. And at the bottom, 14.6, laugh out loud.
Oh, LOL.
How about
that? All right. We're making some headway.
Makes you feel good, right?
We're making some headway there. That's pretty good. We're talking about the Sixers predictions, and if you're looking at it honestly, because I keep going back to it, and I hear what people are saying about, well, they don't have home court, but to me, the counter is, well, they don't really go on the road. You're in a bubble. So it's a benign bubble. There'll be nothing to do but being focused on the game. I think that does a team like the Sixers good. Don't you? Being solely focused on the game itself?
To me, it comes down to maturity. That's what it comes down to. So are these guys ready to take these leaps forward in their careers? And have they become mature enough? Is Tobias Harris going to be a strong enough leader? Is Al Horford going to be a strong enough leader? Is Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid going to become leaders for this team? Because, yeah, you're right. I mean, the biggest thing, we heard it. Brett even said it when he was on with you about a month ago, that the struggles on the road, he thought, may have come down a little bit to leadership, and we need somebody that can take that step forward to grab the bull by the horns and be the leader of the team. There's no crowd barking at Ben Simmons, you can't shoot. There's no crowd barking at Joel Embiid. But you're still, I don't know, I guess this would work out for him, because it's like it is your home for the next couple of months. I guess, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if they benefited from it, but I think it's better than what it would be on a normal road trip for them.
Totally. Think about it, right? If you are able to just lock yourself away, how much better are you at doing your job?
Much better.
And if you're buying into it, you're not going to be out and about. You're just buying into, hey, I'm coming down to play ball. I'm going to eat, drink, and sleep playing ball.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do that, for a month. If you're at practice time and all. So it's going to work out to be, what, 2.5 months? I forgot the exact total, but it's like 2 months.
Right.
So I'm going to spend, 60-some days focused on my job. I mean, that's what you're pledging. I don't see that being an issue, do you?
No, I don't. And part of me wants to believe that the Sixers, these young players, guys like Harris and Horford, are tired of hearing about how much of a disaster they were this year. Maybe that's me looking for something to be excited about. I think they're tired of hearing how much of a disaster they were this year. So they're like, all right, you know what? This is our chance to prove everyone wrong. And this stoppage has helped us out. We've regrouped. We've gotten healthier. We've rested. Let's go. And we're tired of being considered this disaster of an organization this year. So I think that actually benefits the Sixers. The stoppage, the no road trip, can't hear any of that stuff. There's no fans. I think it all benefits them, yeah.
Yeah, I do too. I think it all benefits them. I think it all is not only benefits them, but I think the focus piece of it is strong. I think all that comes into play. So, you know, now one of the things we've been having, and the debate's been going on all morning long, is the Simmons thing. And people still, it's amazing to me. If I say to you, who was the best player all season? It's an easy answer, right?
Yeah, the answer is Ben Simmons.
It's not even close. Who's the second best player?
Either Josh Richardson or Tobias Harris.
Right. I'd say Josh Richardson.
Hello?
Where's Embiid at?
Embiid would be 3 or 4, depending on where you put Tobias. Because Tobias did have a pretty good stretch of games.
So therein lies the whole thing. Why is we talk about, right away when we talk about Sixers coming back, Simmons gets the brunt of it.
Because the low-hanging fruit. It's an easy thing to go after. Yeah. It's, come playoff time, he's just going to disappear anyway. That's what it is for a lot of people. And until he proves them wrong, they will continue to say it.
All right. Question number 3 of 5 was, what are you trying to put to rest? Because sometimes we hold on to things and it's poisonous. And it's like the Jalen Hurts pick for me.
Yes.
All right, whatever. Second round pick, come on.
Yeah, you're not wrong, though.
Yeah. But I want to put it aside. I want to table my frustration so I die if and when they play, I got a clear head. And so if and when they play on August 1st, are you having a clear head?
With Brett Brown, yeah, I'm gonna try my best until he makes one bad call. No, you know what? I'm not gonna hold him.
Just like on Twitter, the first quarter of the first game, there'll be a problem with what?
With rotation. Yeah, and we'll complain. No, you know what? The first 8 games, I'm not gonna be too tough. Because I don't know what he's going to do the first 8 games. I don't know if he's going to experiment. I don't know if he's going to go pedal to the metal and try to win and move up in seeding. I don't know what the Sixers' plan will be. And whatever it is, whether it's experimenting or trying to win or whatever, I'm going to say, all right, Brett, this is your decision. This is what you think will be best for the Sixers come playoff time. You are still the head coach. So I have to put my faith in you for these next 8 games because I don't really put that much value into them. But as soon as game 1 of the playoffs start, if he is making bad decisions, that table's going to be rocking.
That table's going to be rocking. I love it. Question number 4. The sledgehammer on the toe of the biggest J.O. you've encountered during the pandemic.
Yeah, mine was like the first couple weeks. It was like the first week they started.
Ski mask guy.
Yeah, they started making, you had to wear the mask to the grocery store, and he wore a ski mask that exposed his mouth, nose, and eyes. Obviously eyes, but the mouth and nose were exposed, and he had this smug smile on his face because he knew what he was doing. Some 20-year-old punk.
Yeah, I don't get the mask thing. Quite frankly,
covering the mouth and the nose.
I don't get the problem with it.
Oh yeah, no, I don't get it. Yeah, you see these videos, these viral videos of people going insane.
they go nuts. They go walking into a store, and then they say, listen, you can't come in without a mask. Like, now you should know.
Yes.
Just go get a t-shirt and put it over your face. Right? Like, whatever. If you don't have a mask, by now everybody's have a mask in a car, right? But if you don't, do what you got to do. Just, what's the big deal? Like, you understand everybody's got to do it.
And I don't know. And
it's not about liberties.
Right. Like, when you see the lady freak out, are there people on her side going, yeah, damn right. Like, no, at this point, just wear the damn mask. Whether you want to or not, you have to. Just do it. Period. Yeah, I don't get these viral videos. And they look like terrible people.
No.
Right? Like, they don't come off as like, oh, I get it. That was genuine. You forgot your mask at home. I feel bad for you. Oh, then they freak out. Start cursing. Oh, I'm never coming back here again. All right. Fine. If you do, bring a mask.
Yeah, no. It's not that, right? I mean, come on, man. What's wrong with you? What the hell's wrong with you? All right, so what is your biggest beef, Dorn? You get the person in the pandemic who drove you crazy. And then finally, your favorite movie character is bust out. Mine's a British gangster dude by the name of In Sexy Beast is the movie. Did you ever see it?
No.
No.
So. Can I laugh at that one?
Yeah.
All right. I didn't see Sexy Beast. No.
Yeah, no, you chuckled. You did a Bryce Harper. I'm coming to you live from a curveball machine.
I'm sorry.
Live from a curveball machine. And you go, you start chuckling like I'm Gabe asking you about a movie. But your favorite
open it up in chat.
Bust out movie character was?
Paul Giamatti Cinderella Man.
Yeah. That got us on a Paul Giamatti kick.
Yes. I didn't know there was such Paul Giamatti hate in this world.
I just don't get him.
He's very good in Cinderella Man.
All right.
Watch Cinderella Man soon.
I mean, listen, he plays the same guy. He's like a kind of downtrodden. In Billions, he was a little bit different, but still the same kind of, you know, rounded shoulders, slumped, hunched. And then it's funny because one of our guys, Nikki, brought up Steve Buscemi. You like Steve Buscemi?
More so in Adam Sandler movies. I thought Boardwalk Empire was okay. I didn't finish it.
I was not a big Boardwalk Empire fan.
I get what you're saying, though. They could have had a better character than Steve Buscemi. They definitely could have. For that role, they definitely could have found somebody better.
Yeah. Because
the premise wasn't bad. It was a good premise.
Yes, I know. I know. John in the KOP will get it started back on the phone, 610-632-0975. Johnny, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, I don't know if I have enough time to get this off my chest, because I'm going to need you guys' approval on this.
Sure.
My sports hatred, you know, everything was going good after Chip Kelly left. Philly sports were on the up and up. Everything was getting better until Colangelo arrived in Philadelphia. And my sports hatred kind of began then. It was him and then, like, the Gate, you know? I just felt like they came into these organizations and didn't have a connection with the people and what we needed as sports fans. And especially when Colangelo, when it came to the draft and drafting Markelle Fultz, I was shocked that we moved up for him, and I was just upset because I thought that was the year when we were going to trade, because that was when we had the Sacramento swap, and we were going to trade with Utah for Markkanen and Fox, because we were going to get 3-5 or 3-10.
That was one of the rumors.
10.
Yeah.
And that I was looking forward to it, because if Ben wasn't going to work out, I was like, all right, well, we're going to need a backup point guard because Ish Smith and, you know, TJ aren't going to do it.
Right.
Fox would be the perfect, you know, backup
point
guard.
You like De'Aaron Fox, yeah.
And then Markkanen could have been our stretch four. But it just seems like Colangelo had the Mikey Myth genes when he sees a nice stroke and he's just like, I see that stroke. I got to have that stroke. It's so smooth. It's so perfect.
John, I got to tell you, I was guilty too, man. And I didn't talk to the kid, right? Like, I loved Fultz because I thought Fultz could play the opposite band, shoot it, and he could also, you know, play the one. And I was completely wrong.
Right. I thought so, too. I wasn't completely, like, horrible with it. But then later in the draft, I think we took Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrot when we still didn't have another backup point guard. We could have had, like, Malcolm Brogdon. And I was like, what's going on here? Like, what are we doing? And then after that, it was like things just spiraled out of control. And, like, ever since then, I've been kind of negative about it. But I just want to get it off my chest. And this year, like, Brett, I'm not going to hold it against him. Like, he's just going to do his best, and if he can't get it done, then I'm ready to move on. Like, I don't hate him anymore. I know he's more of a soft coach, but I think we just need to go in another direction because after they got rid of Hinkie, we had all the assets, all the cap space, and we just haven't made the right moves.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. And you might have been right. I just guess I was being stubborn, too. I have that, too. I fall in love with certain things. I think pieces can fit, and sometimes it backfires, you know?
Yeah. I just thought that it was too perfect to mess up. Like, too many things went wrong.
I know.
Even this year, Avery Bradley or Kentavious Caldwell-Pope have a backup. It's, you know, I know we brought back Korkmaz for, like, a minimum, but those guys were out there, too.
Yeah.
Were they really not a better fit for the modern NBA? Like, would they have not been better to back up Jason Richardson or Josh Richardson and Ben?
Yeah, I hear you. I get. Now, here's the thing. If Horford works out, again, he hadn't worked out, right? But had he worked out, we're not even having a conversation. We're like, wow, Bully Ball works.
Right, the Bully Ball is for the playoffs. You can't do it the whole NBA season.
I agree.
Why Houston Rockets went full small ball.
Yep.
You know, and I think their first game after they went full small ball, what'd they score, like 140, 150
points? Yeah.
Something like that, and it's just like, that's the modern NBA before the playoffs.
Right, now,
you know? Right now, we're stuck in the sixth seed.
Yes, right. Now, let me ask you a question. This is it. Give me the prediction, John, of going forward. I want to see how it plays out. Because does Built for 16 work?
Well, before the playoffs come, like those first eight games, I think we're going to be 5-3, maybe even 4-4, because Brett's going to have to get back used to coaching these guys. I don't know how Ben comes out, but if he comes out strong, I feel like we're going to be all right. But
yes,
when the playoffs come, if Embiid and Horford are healthy, I feel like the Bully Ball will work and that we will be able to get to Milwaukee or Boston. I feel like we will have a legitimate chance against them. And if we do, we can take it to the finals.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I like that idea. I like that thought, John. About John coming up strong. He started to feel it.
I think the majority of people are
the Bully Ball
excited.
Works.
Majority of people are excited for the Sixers. Like, they feel good about the Sixers right now. We saw it in the poll, over 50%.
I'm kind of enjoying it.
Oh yeah, it's positive.
Yeah.
Right? It's a positive notion. In general, right? Because we've been down in the dumps for a while.
Right.
But it's positive toward the Sixers, which the Sixers are the team where people are negative with the most.
Yeah,
of course you're enjoying it. I'm enjoying it.
Right.
It's making me feel like they can do something. We'll see. But hey, why not? That's how I vote in the poll. Why not? All right. I hesitate, but it's possible.
I completely see them coming out and working. Like, I can completely seeing it coming out and working. Like, I mean, if you look at the Rockets, and John said it, he's right on. That's regular season.
Yeah, PJ Tucker was playing the five.
That's regular season. So, that works when guys aren't grinding out, playing defense, playing every possession.
Yeah, Embiid would eat P.J. Tucker alive.
What? Come on. I mean, when the game slows down, and this was an argument and a debate, and I remember actually having this debate years ago with Brett when we talked, this is before they were even in the playoffs, and the idea that the playoffs are a completely different animal, and they are. I don't care how you look at it. And look, I'm not saying the three's not important, because there were some big threes hit during the playoffs last year, and I get
Damian Lillard. Remember, he hit the game winner.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, again, if you're not the Warriors, right, and look, they won titles off the three. I get it. But if you can't shoot it, the game does slow down. And I'm not saying you're not going to take any threes, because you still have to space the floor.
Right.
However, if you attack the rim and get teams in foul trouble, if you get your runouts, what they need to be, and we played this during the playback, it crystallized to me. When we were talking about the 83 Sixers and how they played.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back, now the game was completely different. So I'm not going to compare the eras. However, like the 83 Sixer team, outside of one guy, Tony, they were not a great shooting team. Doc was not a great shooting forward. There was no stretch fours and stretch fives
right, that
you have. None of that stuff. Maurice Cheeks was an okay shooter, but not a great shooter. Right? They weren't a great shooting team. Now, again, the game is completely different, and they were built different. But here's how they had great success. They hammered the glass. They played great defense. And they got out on the break. And they were able to run and attack. And I look at this Sixer team, and I say it's the same thing.
Hey, look at the athleticism on the squad. With Ben Simmons alone on the break can score at will if he actually attacks the basket. But Josh Richardson could do it. Tobias Harris. Yeah, you're not going to have the transition three, but who needs it if you can get to the rim and score?
Right?
Just go to the rim. That's all. And if you get fouled, you get fouled. Like the idea of, oh, well, Ben Simmons is afraid to shoot free throws. Well, okay, well, you know what? He at least puts another foul on that guy's total. That guy's another foul closer away from being fouled out from the game.
So
I get what you're saying.
So that to me is how they have to play. It's human nature in this NBA where if a guy's got four or five fouls, you got to go at him.
Yes.
What was the game? You remember the game where it was inexplicable? They had gotten a team in a penalty, and they did nothing but they were like in the penalty within
early. Yeah, I remember within during the regular season.
I think it was like a third quarter or whatever it was, and they did not go to the line the rest of the down. I mean, you have to be able to attack the rim. And then you got to keep doing it. Because here's the bottom line, right? If you got Embiid, you should be able to feed it all day to Embiid, right? And then when he's tired, you got Simmons attacking the rim. And he did a good job of attacking the rim this year. He improved his free throw shooting, right? We saw that. And now you got Richardson can drive it. Harris, they only get into trouble when they just settle for threes and really settle for jump shots. That's when they get in trouble the most.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with a mid-range shot from Richardson or Tobias because they hit them. But yeah, it's when they have the rotations of like Korkmaz and Scott are out there at the same time. Because, I mean, let's face it. I like Mike Scott. Did a lot for his community before the season started again. He just floats around the three-point line. And when you're shooting below 35% like he did this year, That's not going to help you at all.
Right.
It's not going to help you at all. So, yeah, I mean, that's when they do get in trouble. You're right. When they start tallying 25, 30 three-pointers in the game, you're like, all right, they lost that game.
Yeah, because, A, they're taking bad shots or forcing bad shots, right? And it should work. Now, I might be crazy, but it should work in the playoffs where things slow down. You're playing, you're defending every possession. You can't ask guys to defend every possession in regular season.
Absolutely not.
It just doesn't matter. Human nature, they're not wired that way to play every possession like it's the finals.
Yeah, they'll defend the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter.
And in the playoffs, it's completely different. So I got to believe that alone makes them better. Right?
Yep. We'll see. I mean, it's gonna be interesting. But does Brett push that on the players? And do the players do it? Or do they start chucking up threes? We know Ben's not going to chuck up threes, but is Ben going to be aggressive and attack the net?
Well, but that's got to be part of Brett's game plan,
yep.
Which is attack the rim, attack, 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 and keep attacking when you got a guy in trouble. By the way, our handoff to Mikey Miss coming up next at 2, brought to you by Philadelphia Hand and Shoulder Center, specialized care for hand, wrist, arm, elbow, and shoulder injuries conditions. For more information, visit hand2shouldercenter.com. A lot of fun. It's great to have something to talk about that's almost tangible. And with a schedule, it makes it tangible. We'll have baseball, hockey coming back. Everybody have a great day as always. A lot of fun. Thanks for listening. Be careful, and we'll see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.